This is JFM Podcast.
It's a beautiful Thursday evening, 29th of February 2024. Is a Libya Gilbert.
I was going to, I think you made it even easier. My friend Timothy Musa, aka Tim Duncan, is celebrating his birthday today. And we had, you know, an interesting call this morning because his birthday, like, you know, you have said that comes once in 4 years.
Yeah.
And it was today I paid particular attention to, you know, how all that unfolds. So you have got to wait, you know, if you are given birth to or something memorable in your life happens on the 29th of March for, you know, the circle, the sun to complete its full circle or whatever that means, you know. The geographers would be helpful in this situation. But I had a good joke and a good laugh with Timothy Musa earlier today, and I had to wish him all of the wishes that I haven't wished for him in 4 years.
4 years.
Yeah. And he said they're looking for, you know, a mate for people to come in the circle. And hopefully they have more additions today, which happens every day, so long as the earth remains. So here's wishing you a happy birthday. And by the way, when I hear people talk about tech-savvy people, he's the first person that comes to my mind because he has a good knowledge of what technology is all about, all of the trends, all of the new developments that take over the space. And if I have any challenges, he's usually one of those people I would call to find out, hey, what's happening? And we did this when AI took us by storm, you know, in the last 1 year. So I wish him all the best that life can offer. And of course, a happy, happy birthday. See you again 4 years from now.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting, those celebrating birthdays today, to know that they get to celebrate when is a leap year. I think the last time we had, it was 4 years ago, yeah, I remember that we had in leap year 29th. So if you don't know what a leap year is, I mean, February usually ends 28th. So a leap year is when, you know, it ends 29th. So that is basically what a leap year is. And so a lot of people don't get to celebrate their birthdays often, especially those who were born 29th of February. Well, that's some bit of information for
you. Yeah, and the day is called a leap day.
Leap day, yeah. Yeah, well, Gilbert, what stories have you been following today?
I'm sure you would have seen the appointee or the nominee that rejected the president's offer for him to serve in one of those monetary departments of the CBN. And I said, what manner of mind, what manner of individual, you know, would be this tough and this principled to say, look, I'm not doing this. I'm not honoring the invitation to serve my fatherland. I don't know if it's an invitation to serve the fatherland or an invitation to serve under the administration. But I do think that regardless of the differences that you have, when particularly you have a rich resume that's going to, you know, be needed to salvage the situation, to salvage the country in whatever way, then you should be able to honor that. But I don't know. Well, it happened. It happened. How many times do you find people declining such honors or even such appointments?
I do understand, you know, the point that you said, patriotism, that he needs to serve his fatherland. But, I mean, if he's engaged, we don't know the terms of contract he signed with the World Bank because the story has it that he's a consultant with the World Bank. It was Senator Oji Uzokalu that called him, that he called, that is, the nominee, Urum, that's his name, too. I mean, he respectfully declined that he's currently engaged.
So Urum Kalu.
Yeah.
AK.
Yeah. I think that the federal government should have, or the president should have done some background check to maybe invite and seek for his consent.
Personally.
To say, yeah, this is what I'm thinking, you know, if you can serve in this capacity in our country, I mean, it's going to make a whole lot of difference instead of just sending. So it shows that there wasn't any background, you know, findings or investigation or even consultation with the person who is supposed to be giving the appointment. And that is why we're here, basically. And what other, you know, stories?
Yeah, the red rail line in Lagos that was commissioned by the president today, he said too many things, and it's commonplace for you to find leaders go to such an event and then make remarks. But the toughest that I do think he said is the fact that Labour, you know, should be a bit more cautious. It was more like the president warning the NLC and other people, other persons who intend to speak about the current situation of the country. And when you have people coming out to speak in your defense, Mr. President, it's only fair that you continue to appeal to the conscience of Nigerians to say, look, be patient, be more patient, things would get better. Just like many other people, many other individuals are doing at the moment. And he came out to, for me, just make a mess of the whole situation. They have protested. Simply say, look, we've heard you. We've heard you loud and clear. We're working assiduously hard to ensure things get better. But he came out to say it's just 9 months old, his administration, on the saddle, and that people should be a bit careful when they're going out to express themselves, and that Labour is not the only class of, should I call it, pressure group, yes, that can speak for Nigerians. There are many other people. So who says because you are Labour, you can't speak for yourself and for other Nigerians? That's the question. And for someone who has this comrade spirit, you know, who has the struggle knack, is it the struggle spirit, or what do I call it here? You should be more careful. You understand how this plays out. When things are biting hard on citizens and it's in your place to address it, come out to address it frontally and more so politely, not to stay in your comfort territory and say, look, that people have got to wait till 2027 and not distract your administration, which is on course. And by the way, he's taking off to Qatar today. So the BBC was doing a report, right? And they said he hasn't stayed up to a month in office without traveling. So what are we up to? And what's the assurance or guarantee that he'll stay put in the country and address the myriad of challenges facing the country? So it's really not nice. It's really, and I honestly don't seem to understand why leaders have this this hunger to travel out. What exactly are you looking for? Why exactly is it that you can't export? Agreed, there would come moments when necessarily you have to travel out of the country. But when you make it too frequent a thing, then questions have got to be asked, and you're spending taxpayers' money to fund your trip.
Yeah, I do understand. You know, let me start with what the president told Labour, that they are not only the voice that Nigerians, you know, have. It just goes to show how Labour have made themselves very cheap, and how there is no integrity. You know, I'm not missing words. There's no integrity in Labour, because anytime Labour will come out to tell Nigerians that we're hitting the street. I mean, just was it 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when Labour came out to say that, okay, they are protesting over the cost, the hardship and the cost of living in the country, just, and then they made with the federal government, and then they came out to say, no, we have suspended because we've got some word of assurances or whatever, you know, they said at the time. It just shows that Labour has lost its own voice with the government and the people, and I think that is very bad, because if you have any society that has a weak Labour union, I mean, the government of that society or the powers that be in that society will always play with, you know, Labour how they want, instead of, you know, respecting them, and of course Labour truly representing the interests of every worker, you know, in that society, because that is what Labour is supposed to do, representing the interests both at the individual level and then the collective level, the interests of every worker. But it's like anytime Labour comes out to say, ah, we're going on a protest, and then the federal government will slate a meeting, and then they have that meeting. Maybe they'll start the meeting by 11 p.m. And then before you know it, 3 a.m., you know, they are still in the meeting.
They've called off.
Yeah, and then they'll say, reach a truce with the Pharaoh girl. I mean, who does, you know, and it has been a consistent pattern.
Yeah, same script. It even happened, you know, before they went on protest. There was that late night meeting.
It has been a very consistent pattern.
I think that in this situation, they did a bit better because the protest held subsequently, except that it didn't last up to 2 days as they earlier arranged or as they earlier pronounced it was going to be. I don't know. I don't know how strongly they can remain consistent whatever it is they are doing. You're absolutely right on that. But, I mean, the spirit of revival has to be kindled or rekindled in labor. Especially if you look at the fact that
they just have to reinvent themselves. I mean, that's the honest truth.
That's true.
Why is it that politicians will organize protests and then it's going
it'll
to
work.
Resonate? Yeah.
Mm.
But when labor, you know, labor that's supposed to represent the common or the common interest of the ordinary person, you know, if they organize protests, it doesn't get to work.
Mm-hmm. And I think more importantly, we have to also say that the TUC have always dampened the morale of the struggle because they didn't even take part in the latest protest that NLC held.
They have their reasons.
Everybody has their reasons.
Yeah.
When people are speaking in common voice, but they have also done the same thing in time past, sponsor.
Mm.
Each time, Labour, they're usually the first persons to say, look, these are the reasons why we can't forge ahead with you on this event or on this occasion. And they repeated the same thing equally. And so it was only Labour who went ahead to make good its threat. Or is that a threat?
Yeah. Well, let's play this insert from Senator Shehu Sani saying that Buhari left a very battered economy for the current administration. When we come back, why has there been consistent water shortages, especially that we're reaching the peak of the dry season? Most communities, you know, they don't have water. I'm talking about both in Jos and Bukuru metropolis. What is the government doing to address, you know, this situation? Water is very important because if you have access to clean water, I mean, most diseases, you know, that are contagious, you're going to be far away from them. When we come back, we have the legal secretary of the Plateau State Water Services Corporation, I guess, yeah. Barrister J.K. Chris is going to take all of, I mean, we're not going to have much conversation with him. We're just going to, you know, few talk and then open the phone lines and then you can ask him any question. Stay here.
Well, first of all, it's necessary that we understand that labor represent the interests, the aspirations and the rights of Nigerian workers. So they have that mandate to speak in the defense of the interests of Nigerian workers, advance their dreams and expectations. And the government has a responsibility as a constituted authority to implement programs and reforms. Now, the area of contention here is the economic reform policy that has now touched on the lives of people and has created problems for so many people. Well, naturally, and in history, whenever you have an economic reforms, there is bound to be consequences of that reforms. It has happened when Margaret Thatcher took over office in 1979-80. She implemented reforms in Britain that led to a number of issues. And then Deng Xiaoping in China, when he took over, the same thing with Mahathir Mohamad in Malaysia, in Indonesia, and several others in Brazil and Argentina. But what what those in the position of power need to understand is that when you are implementing economic reforms, you must anticipate the crisis, and the issues that will arise out of it, and then you make provisions to address it. But the government in power today has inherited some problems which it was not responsible, and that there are also mistakes which it has made. The problem it has inherited is that what is going on in Nigeria today, if the Buhari administration in the last 8 years has implemented those reforms, then we could have been reaping the benefit of it now. For 8 years, he couldn't remove subsidy. For 8 years, he couldn't stabilize the Naira. And the way we were going about it is that pumping billions, then trillions, then borrowing to subsidize petroleum products. And then secondly, money is being pumped into also subsidize the Naira. If all these things was done, it could not have been. But it's the same party. Buhari handed over to Tinubu.
So there's no excuse.
Yeah, Buhari handed over to Tinubu, and they have said so many nice things about him. They have praised him, they have eulogized him, and said so many good things. Recently, when a book was launched, praises upon praises on Buhari's administration. And then the same people who praised him will now come and say that this is what he has done wrongly, and he's a, what we must be very practical and realistic with ourselves.
Yeah, well, glad you're still here. The program is Nigeria Sunset on J101.9 here in Jos. My name is Ponsak Fanab.
And I am Gilbert Joseph.
We have Barrister J.K. Chris with us. Good evening. Thank you so much for coming.
Good evening, Ponsak, Gilbert. Good evening, listeners. It's a pleasure to be here once more.
I mean, throughout this week, starting from Monday to yesterday, we've lost count of the callers. You know, people call to say, we don't have water. We don't have water in our, the tap, you know, is no longer running. What's going on? Especially Jos Bukuru Metropolis. What's going on with the Jos Water Services Corporation?
Yeah, as the saying goes, water is life, and every drop counts. That is what we stand for, and that is what we know as our identity, the Jos Water Services Corporation. Is basically saddled with responsibility of providing clean, safe, and potable drinking water within the Jos Greater Master Area, all the areas that is covered under the Jos Greater Master Plan. Mm. We are responsible for providing safe, not just water, but clean and safe drinking water. Mm. And because it is a utility that is needed, a utility that has to pass through process, it cannot just be provided without also the challenges of providing or sending this water to the people, that need it. We are providing water not just for drinking. We are also providing water for other activities that has to do with irrigation and all that, whatever needs water. And you also agree with me that every individual lives barely, you cannot live a day without water. Mm. You can live a day without food. Water, the next to oxygen is water, as far as the importance of life is concerned. So coming on board, we realize the enormity of the responsibility. It's so enormous, and then we also need to hit the ground running, just as His Excellency has also hit the ground running in all other sectors. We also need to hit the ground running. We just came in barely about 2 months ago or thereabout. So we are facing the challenges headlong. And some of the challenges are challenges that have been there. That because if you go around the Jos Metropolis, you also realize that most of the pipes that have been laid, the pipe network are pipes that have stayed for a very, very long time. Even though In the administration of Darajon Ajang, there has been effort to bring in new pipes and all that. And that effort has started. And then coupled with the urban renewal that was carried out during the Jang administration, a lot of pipe network was interfered with and all that. And then they were not tackled immediately after, you know, the preceding administration came in. The pipe networks that were distorted, that were obstructed, most of them were really not not rectified. In fact, one of the major ones, I just discussed it, I didn't even know I was coming on air. Somebody called me from Shaka and said, look, we've not had water from Shaka, but we have road network. Before now, we have pipe network. Mm. But before now, we're having water. But we now discover that while they were constructing that Shaka route, there is a major VAP around Golan Base that was blocked in order for the road to be constructed. And then we discovered that that VAP has remained like that, and it was covered by the road construction and all that. So we need to go back and be able to reopen those things. Those things are things that would have been done long time ago, but they were not done after those pipes were lit. So most of the pipes around are the AC pipes. They are what we refer to as AC pipes.
What does that mean?
Those pipes that were they are more like with cement and all that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, those ones are like
asbestos.
Asbestos and hand. Those old ones are like school school pipes, yeah. And they are not in vogue now. So we are replacing them with the ductile iron pipes, which are in vogue now, and then a more advanced pipe that would be able to transmit this water to make it really, really safe and what have you. So we are trying to work on that. Coupled with urbanization, the growth in urban cities,
need for new homes,
the new settlements that have come up, most of these new settlements have no water network. They have no water network. And then that goes back to also our attitude towards urban development. Now, if you want to, in urban development, before a new settlement will come up, you consider all the utilities, all the basic amenities that should be there. You consider where the water will pass through. You consider where electricity will go. You consider where the roads will also be there. And then you also consider the schools and hospitals and so many other things like that. So most of these things we are not taking into consideration in our new urban settlement. And then there is also the issue of planning. The plans are not there. So for the old networks, we also realize that there are a lot of leakages as a result of interference by communities. A lot of people are doing illegal connection. You know, when you talk of illegal connection, it's not only on electricity.
Power, yeah.
Yes, there is illegal connection also on water pipes, because most of our pipes pass through communities. You understand? A lot of people will just go get a plumber that is not even a qualified plumber, a quack, and then they will tap water from the service line. And then because they tap water from the service line or because the plumber is not good enough, they may not do a neat job. And if they don't do a neat job, they have punctured the pipe. And then wherever you send water to those pipes, it will be leaking.
Okay.
So now it takes us a lot of resources to be able to treat this water. And then by the time you send them to the communities, most of the pipes are broken. Most of the pipes are leaking. So you are just wasting the water. Yeah.
We don't understand, you know, the Just Water Services Corporation has a long-term dream or vision. But as we speak right now, for people in Anguan Rukuba, for people in most of the Anguas, you know, across Jos, don't have water. And some of them will wake up, let's say, 4:30 a.m. in the morning with buckets to go to a nearby well, you know, just for them to scoop water for their daily needs that day. What options are you considering? Are you considering the option of maybe bringing in trucks with water just to give people in community, just to ameliorate, you know, that scarcity and suffering that they are going through?
Yes, there is a provision of where absolutely we cannot provide water. There is also a provision where we can just take up our tanks, some of the tanks, and then provide water in areas where absolutely we know it's unpracticable to provide water or to send water to those communities. But then we are working hard to see, yes, we send water. And we are also encouraging communities to also check for pipe burst, to also check if the pipe burst is not on service line, if it is on if it's not on major line that sends the water into the community, if it's on water a line that take water into your own house, always check your water pipes and make sure that there are no leakages. Most of the issues are issues that you find out that your pipe is leaking somewhere and you are not aware, because most of the pipes that we use now are mostly plastic. And some of these plastic pipes, the moment, you don't channel them properly. Some of them just lay them on the highway or on the streets. And the moment vehicles stepped on those pipes, they burst and then they damaged. And then before you know, water is leaking from there. You'll be complaining, water is not coming to my house, water is not flowing in my house. But then your pipe is leaking somewhere. So we encourage everyone that has a pipe-borne water that has connected legally, legitimately connected water to his own house, to check the connection. Go around up to the point that you tap the water, up to the main line that you tap the water. Check. Make sure that you don't have leakage anywhere. And then if you don't have leakage anywhere, we are able to manage, or we are able to check all our leakages, and we don't have leakages, we'll be able to release water. Because the major problem here, we had cause to block the release of water in so many other communities, because the water, we realized that the water is wasting. We had open water sometimes around Bauchi Road. We realized that most of the water, there are a lot of leakages along that line. And then we have to call back and then ask the operators to please change the water line, change the line, send it to another direction. And it was sent to the main city around Church Street, going through Rampam Street, and then around Vanderpuye Ward and Tefa Buliwa, those areas. And then from there, personally, I received quite a number of calls again about leakages of water here and there. So the main challenge is the leakages we are having around the town. And then we also realize that if you release this water and then this water is wasting, I'm assuring you, whatever we do every day, over 60% of waters we release goes to a non-revenue water, what we refer to as non-revenue water. That means water that is not being benefited by anyone. The water is just flowing. Is either as a result of illegal connection or pipe burst, that nobody is benefiting from this water. The consumers are not benefiting, that's our customers. And then the corporation is also not benefiting by way of getting revenue or getting value for the services you offer.
In the long term.
So what we're advising is, first, we are doing our own to make sure that we replace our pipes with the ductile iron pipes that are in vogue, the pipes that will stand the test of time, the pipe that will also transmit safe drinking water. We also encourage the communities, because it's going to be a collaboration between the corporation and the community to ensure that the water, one, we have less leakages, and secondly, we have less illegal connections within the community.
What deadline do you have in mind to say that, okay, by this month, be it next year, be it December this year, be it July, whatever, to say that, look, by this time we would have fixed all of the pipe leakages, and so people can have, you know, water to their various houses?
We do not have deadlines at the moment. And then the reason is because we have development partners that, had interest in urban water supply and sanitation, even generally water supply, realizing the importance of water. So we have development partners that indicated interest, that had offered that, look, we want to assist you in fixing all the challenges of water supply within the city and all that. And then we are in talks with them. We have done the soft component. A lot of the soft component have been done. All the paperwork, all the soft component, as in identifying the areas of need, identifying costing and everything. So we are actually hoping that we'll have such intervention in good time. But in the meantime, His Excellency is also looking at, look, we cannot wait continuously to development partners. We want to also intervene. So in due course, I'm assuring you, in no distant time, one major challenge we want to tackle first is, we want to tackle the issue of the plants, where we treat water, our treatment plants. By the time our treatment plants are optimal, we can be able to produce treated water and transmit it. Then we come back to the pipes. So we are currently working on our treatment plants. Most of our treatment plants are undergoing a lot of renovations. One of it is the Yeluwa treatment plant. Hopefully very soon it will come up very, very strong to supply water within just Bukuru metropolis. And then we're also working on the Yakubu Gawan treatment plant, and then the Nabor Gong treatment plant, the Laminga treatment plant. These are the major treatment plants we are working on. As soon as they are optimal, as long as they are optimal, we are sure that we can produce the water. Then we now face the issue of leakages. We can now release the water and identify the major areas of leakages and then collaborate with communities to see how we can tackle that.
For areas that have, you know, their pipes up and running, no leakages, no nothing.
Yes.
Are you saying that these areas or these people receive water as at when due?
Yes.
Or what are the challenges not receiving?
Even with the leakages, we cannot just stop supplying water just because of leakages. Even with the leakages, we still supply water because there is no how, because of leakages, you stop supplying water completely. We only encourage people but the moment we find out that the leakage is major, the leakage is huge, or is a big pipe that is leaking, that's when we block the water. But if it is the small pipes, we manage that, we still supply water. That's why if you go around city, sometimes you see everywhere wet. You begin to surprise, why is everywhere wet? These are small pipes that are leaking, but then we still supply water because you cannot stay a day without supplying water. But then we are working hard. I'm sure if you go around town, there are places that they can tell you that, yes, we have improvement. There is improvement in water supply, but there are also areas that, we don't have water supply. But we are working on it. And then those areas that do not have water supply, it's not that we don't send water there. I'm sure there are major problems, just as I mentioned. Either one of the VAP is blocked as a result of roads work that is going on and all that. So we are also collaborating with all other agencies, the Road Maintenance Agency, the Jos Metropolitan Development Board, and to see how we can now collaborate to ensure that in trying to solve a problem, you don't create another problem. Trying to solve a problem of roads, we don't create a problem of non-water supply and all that. So we work in harmony. Before a road is constructed, we ensure that we check all the water lines and then make sure that we supply. So we keep supplying. And then I'm assuring you, even today, there are quite a number of areas we release water today. There is a process. Now, you now draw the water from the raw material, the dams, take them to the treatment plant, treat those waters. It has to take hours before you treat those water. You don't just draw water from the dams and send it to the public. No, it has to take hours, and the treatment is gradual. Every process, it takes hours. So by the time that is the production of the water, by the time you treat this water, now you now send them to the reservoir. And the reservoir around town, that you've seen some big tanks around town, it has to take time for the reservoir to reach a certain level before you now send it to the communities and all that. So it's a process. And that's why I said the pumping machines and all the equipment at the reservoirs has to be optimal first. If they are working at a very, very optimal capacity, then you now send it to where you treat it, and then you take time to treat it. You take hours, 8 to 12 hours to treat water, and then you now send it to the reservoir. So it's a process. And then by the time you now send it, it takes 12 to 24 hours. Once the reservoir is at the very, very comfortable level, then you now send the water.
All right. Well, let's open the phone lines. You can join the conversation. We've been having a chat with Barrister J.K. Chris from the Jos Water Services Corporation. I know that you've been having difficulty getting potable drinking water in your Anguas, in your areas, and that is why we brought the Jos Water Services Corporation here to answer your question. You can join the conversation 081-2187-7777 or you call 090-556-6699.
Or send in your comments on Facebook at JFM Live, on X at JFM Jos.
Let's take the first call. Hello and good evening.
Hello, Pastor. Good evening.
Thank you for calling. Tell us your name and join the conversation, please.
Madam Queen is calling from Abatua.
Good to hear from you. Please go ahead, Ma.
Give us just a good morning and a good evening. Paris, a good evening. Governor Caleb Mustang, because the whole city, even those that did not vote for him, are excited about what he's doing. I want to encourage him to do because Plateau people love him, and from what he's doing, we know that by the grace of God, he's going to be one of the best governors in this Plateau state. I want to ask a question. You see, there are like there's people that are going on the road. You see, major high road. Somebody will just come and break the pipe. And at the end of the day, they will just take the name of constructing connecting water to their home. What are you people doing about it? Because me, anytime I come across things like this, it gets me angry. And the issue of this illegal connection and those that don't have this connection at home, what are you going to do for people to have a legal connection in their houses? Thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for your question. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, thank you for calling. Good evening. Tell us your name and join the conversation, please.
Mr. Ponsant, this is Rachel from Kufa.
Thank you for calling. Go ahead, please.
I want to commend you for what you have been doing in the plateau, especially in GFN. I want to say thank you to our governor for what he is doing too. But I want to tell your guest in the house, he was saying that they supply water at all times. In Kufang, it's almost 2 weeks now we saw water, especially in Kufang. So I don't know how they supply their water that other areas are getting and other areas are not getting. So that is just my case this evening.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Barrister Chris will respond. Hello, good evening, thank you for calling. Hello? Hello? Okay. That wasn't working, let's try. Hello? Hello?
Hello, good evening.
Thank you for calling, yeah. Tell us your name and join the conversation, please.
Thank you. My name is Emmanuel Wadley, I'm calling from Florida.
We're listening, thanks for calling.
Yes, obviously, this is an important topic we just brought to the studio for discussion now. Of course, water is one of the things that a common man can feel the dividends of governance. A lot of places in Jos are not enjoying water at all. But let me say this, maybe the guests there will listen to it and then take notes. Most times when you go, me from people, right, sometimes I'll board cities to go and get water around that, their water, reservoir around before British America by the right. Do you know that sometimes they have excess water to give people there, they don't give it. But their staff will be selling it. You know, you see tankers coming in, but they will not distribute this water. In a day, you will be surprised by the number of tankers that will come in there. But I once asked them, these tankers, are you supplying it to people for free? And then someone said the one tanker was 11,000 or 14,000 or so. So they will not carry the tanker, fetch the water, and take it to you to your house, and then because you have the money to afford, that's all. So let them follow some of these things and get to know some of the reasons why they are not giving this water. Thank you, and God bless. Yes.
Thank you, thank you. I'm happy that Barrister Chris is taking down notes, so he's going to respond to each and every comment or question that you be having. Please call 081-218-7777. Hello, good evening. Thank you for calling. Thank you for calling. Tell us your name and join the conversation, please.
My name is Yakubu. I'm calling from Janta.
Go ahead, Yakubu, from Janta.
The issue of Janta Adamu has been a serious problem for us. There has not been water for so many years. We don't know whether there is water bought here in Joshua. I don't know what the system you are actually talking about is. Because I see some people are enjoying the benefits of that water thing, and we don't have for so many years. After the constructions of the road, you people left us like that. So we don't know what's happening.
Hello?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Yeah, I just finish up your comment.
Okay, seriously, I'm actually concerned because as a citizen, as a voter, and also as a resident of that particular area I've mentioned, we've not seen water for so long like that. And it's a serious challenge for some of us. People have to cross the road to get water. So look at the risk sometimes. children, women are always at reach to get water. That's not supposed to be like that.
Thank you.
So please, I want you to look at the issue, especially gender demo.
Thank you. After this, Barrister Chris will give short response and then Gilbert will take us through social media. Hello, good evening. Thank you for calling.
Good evening. I'm Teresa from Tancho.
Thank you for calling, Teresa. Please go ahead, Teresa.
Okay, sir. So it's like since early of this year, we have never experienced water in our community. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Teresa.
Yes, sir. So we have been trying, and really we are running hardly of water. People are really suffering before we get water. So I don't know why.
Thank you, Teresa. I'm happy that at least the women, you know, today we had a good number of women, you know, calling the show. And I would like to personally encourage that. Barrister Chris, please go ahead.
Yeah, definitely we should have women is an issue of water.
Yeah.
Mostly when there is no water supply or there is no water around in the home, is mostly you see the women with big buckets, big basins trying to get water. It's unfortunate that we have a lot of issues here and there, starting with the issue of Janta Adamu is an issue that we have been on. It's as a result, majorly as a result of the road construction that has been mentioned. But we are working on it to see as a new management that is focused, trying to address or trying to key into the vision of His Excellency to see how we rectify the issue of Janta Adamu. In fact, yesterday, someone from the community personally called me. There has been personal effort. So I asked him to get to, can he get the real issues? What are the issues? Where are the connections? Because there are some areas, Janta Adamu, we have Janta Makeri, we have Janta Mongoro, and we have Janta Adamu. I want to know the real area where we are having challenges, and then we'll be able to know how to tackle it. The issue of breaking roads to be able to do connection. Whoever is breaking roads, it has to be with the authority and the permission of the board, the water corporation. If the water corporation do not permit you, you are not. Nobody has a right to also damage the road. Even the water corporation, as I earlier mentioned, we have to also collaborate with the JMDB and then the road maintenance agency, because we cannot just go and then start breaking the roads like that. Because if we break the roads, and then who will fix the road? So we also have to factor in JMDB and also the Plateau State Road Maintenance Agency to be able to access our pipes that are even beneath the roads that are there as it is. So we encourage people. We have business offices around the communities. If you go around, wherever you are residing, there are business offices that you see. We have in Tudunwada, and then we also have in British. You can go to British and then ask how you can be connected to the water supply legitimately and legally. They will give you a form. You have the process of connection and all that. And then Kufang issue also, we know there are some issues around Kufang as far as water supply is concerned. It also has to do with the pipe. There is a pipe that was blocked, was removed because of the road construction. There was a road construction when they were constructing that road leading to Dong and all that. There was a pipe that was removed, and then it's just that we don't want to start blaming. We are not here for blame game. We are here to provide solution and then to bring results. So we are working on all those areas to see how can we get results. This has been as a result of long neglect and all that. And then where you see tankers buying water here and there, yes, definitely. If your area, if you cannot have water, you have to come to where you can get water. And then those waters, the money he's saying, 14,000, 11,000, does not come to the corporation. The corporation has a minimum, whatever you get, a whole tanker, we don't receive more than 2,000 naira for a whole tanker. So it's the tanker drivers now that will now know the cost and the distance to which they will take the water, and then they will charge you, probably as a result of cost of diesel and all others. So we are working assiduously to see how we can tackle the problems. The problems are not problems that just emerge from the blues. It's as a result of long-time neglect. And then more so because over time, people are more dependent on boreholes. People are now sinking boreholes here and there. With the advent of borehole, the technology of boreholes and all that, people now rely more on boreholes. And then the attention to pipe-borne water. Pipe-borne water has been supplied by the government was reduced. So we want to bring back that mentality where, since water is a utility services that is being provided by the government, that, look, every household should have clean water, because it's not everyone that can afford to sink a borehole in his house. It's not everyone that can afford to even dug a well. And then where you have multiple wells, multiple boreholes, is bound to fail and all that. You see a lot of boreholes, a lot of wells are drying up at this time because of their number. But there is no how you have a water that is being treated and then passed through the pipe that will dry. So the Jos Water Services Corporation is working hard to see we address the challenges. We are not running away from the challenges. We admit that, yes, there are a lot of challenges as far as water supply within Jos City and environs is concerned. And we are tackling it headlong. We are not leaving any stone unturned. And I'm assuring you, I don't want to give timeline because we don't want to work. But we are appealing to people. We know how people are suffering. And then also the timing. The season is at the high point of dry season. So a lot of water levels have gone down. And then there are a lot of perennial water scarcity here and there. And that's why we are appealing that, look, we'll try our best to see we supply this water. But with time, it will keep improving. The commitment from us and from the government is that water supply will keep improving until we get to a stage where we are comfortable.
Yeah, let's take a few comments on Facebook. Ayodele Agbabiaka says, water can be found in some few places. Is it because of the ongoing construction work that's making it difficult, or there is no water in the dam? Paul Dusu Thomas says, I like the solution posture rather than blame games of your guest. Bold Dave Jonathan says, about the subject matter, scarcity of water during the dry season especially is something very biting. It can be tough, a growing concern of women going out at wee hours and having not enough time for their husbands due to the effects of tiredness afterwards. Again, children keeping vigil in an insecure environment at wells and streams and all that. Kachi Irene Mank Nani Kier says, it's not been easy at all. Please let them do something about the water supply, especially to Dunwoda axis. We don't suffer. Seriously. Felkuka Factor says, water is life. Government should speed up in that sector to make the masses smile. Albert Dagza says, I can't see government doing things to help our situation as a people. The people of Nigeria are all about an affordable cost of life. They want to be able to afford their needs. There is the need for policies to curb these situations for us. Zank, as he says, in some areas, this issue of water, people are not finding it easy. Let the government do the needful. Clement Basile says, this water issue, people are not finding it easy. To some point, if you must get clean water, you'd almost spend the night outside. The government needs to put in some more work. Ayuba Moses Kwanga says, water board can still do better by supplying water to our communities. As for NLC, they are now a shadow of themselves. Victor Barge says, we will not appreciate water until the well runs dry. Always be grateful and contented with whatever you have. Nigeria is going through a lot. Gangzi Elon says, go around and fix the pipes that have problems or block them instead of leaving it to litter the environment. Also, what do you do about pipelines that pass through dustbins and where people do open defecation? If you care about our health, do something. Dale, that's Ginlong Jim says, you guys are doing a great job by bringing this program to the public. The government is trying to help, and the citizens, on the other hand, should be very careful. In my place, I saw water this morning. Up till now, the water is still running. But this issue of leakage is a thing of concern. Water board, do something at least to reduce the leakage. Mafia Cyprian Luca says, I'm urging the water boards to please come to our aid. There are some pipelines that are always leaking in our community. when they pump water, it litters the environmental hygiene and mosquito find their bedrooms there. We suffer a lot. Cyprian Mafia says, God gave water for mankind's usage for free. Water boards are denying us the water. I don't know whether it is the government's failure to remit what is meant for them that they are treating us like this or not. Please give us water here in Bukuru Expressway. Peter Dauda Darren says, thank God we have water at present in Channel 7 and Glojos. Mm-hmm. Benzico Armstrong says, how can we contact the water board for any complaint? Dashe Alexander says, today I observed a lot of our pipelines had leakages, some very serious ones. Water cannot be managed and reserved with such pipe leakages. I suggest the government through the relevant authorities should carry out a survey to identify some of these leakages and kindly fix them. That way, water distribution will be more effective within the plateau. Don Z says the residents of Jos North Bassa Federal Constituency fall within this bracket, as accessing potable water for use will mean having women and children wake up in the middle of the night or very early in the morning to trek long distances in search of water, while others resort to buying from local vendors without knowing the source of the water. Godwin Sule says, as for me, the government of Plateau State is really trying, but for my area, St. Joseph and Soyak, no water. We know the seawater to bad self. I hardly see water. All right, that's his complaint.
Yeah. Well, Barrister Chris, please go ahead and give us your final word in one minute.
Yeah. Thank you very much. At least one thing.
We have to repeat this.
Yeah. One thing I'm happy about is that quite a number of the commentators acknowledge the fact that there is water.
Yeah.
And they also acknowledge the fact that there are leakages here and there.
Yeah.
Now, you have to identify those leakages. We cannot be everywhere. And that is why we are highly, highly encouraging community collaboration. Please, communities, let's check where they are. Report these leakages to us, and then we're able to see. If the leakages is what we within our purview to fix, fine. If it is your own issue, fix your pipe and all that. And then we cannot just block water because there are leakages. These waters are needed and all that. Please, let's be responsible. We'll share more light on these things, and then we'll share more light. But quite a number of our communities got water today, and then more will have water supply by tomorrow, God's willing, based on the production we're able to do. And then we hope and pray that it improves. We have opportunity to improve in our services. And then with the support, with the commitment of His Excellency, I'm assuring you, very soon this water issue will be tackled headlong.
All right. Thank you. Numbers to call in case of any vandalized.
Yeah, I will get the numbers properly. The number. We have customer care lines, and I'll get it across as soon as possible.
Okay, there you have it. Thank you so much, Barrister J.K. Chris, for coming.
Thank you so much, and thank you, everyone. Please bear with us as far as water supply is concerned. We'll do our best. Thank you.
Gilbert, your final word.
Edo State. We'll talk about Edo State yet because the politics there is heating up.
I mean, like Fela will say, argue. You know, that's what is going on in Edo State. My name is Ponsak Fanabdu. Have a good evening. And stay tuned to the news. Top of the hour, 6 o'clock with Christy Pa-Makut. Stay here. Have a good evening. Bye now.
This is JFM Podcast.